Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Dr. Nina Show. I'm Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin. I'm a psychoanalyst specializing in food, weight, and body image issues. And I am here to help you lose weight without dieting. Guess what? It really is possible to lose weight and gain health all without ever going on another diet. If you'd like to call in and talk with me today, the number is 818-602-4929. 818-602-4929. I can only take one caller at a time, so be sure to call me when I'm not talking to someone else, but be sure to call in because I really want to hear from you. So in the last few weeks, we've been talking about the multiple things that you can do to develop a better relationship to yourself, because the way that you relate to yourself has everything to do with the way that you feel, and the way that you feel has everything to do with the way what you're doing with food. If you are feeling bad about yourself, you're much more likely to eat for comfort. But if you can find a way to feel good about yourself and also to respond to yourself differently, everything changes. So some of the things that we've talked about, if you didn't hear the show, you can go back and listen to it in archives. We talked about babying yourself, protecting that cute baby in the photo of you, that you have to see your baby self when you look in the mirror and find a way to access a part of you that wants to take care of you. We all want to take care of babies, right? So access the part of you that just wants to hold and love and reassure that part of you. We talked about encouraging yourself as you would encourage your best friend, and also looking at yourself in the mirror and telling yourself that you accept yourself fully. That one is a tough one, but it's so great when you get used to it and you just look in the mirror and you accept yourself, because you know that you don't have to be perfect. You are perfectly imperfect, and when you accept yourself, it's a lot easier to imagine that other people will accept you too. So, you know, I brought this into how it relates to food, and I talked about the importance of getting rid of that dreaded fat talk, you know, and how you can take action right now by controlling the images you fill your mind with every day and getting rid of some of those magazines, those fitness magazines, those women's and men's health magazines, Glamour, Cosmo, all of those magazines that just are filled with photoshopped images that make you feel bad about yourself. So now I want you to clarify what is stopping you from achieving your goals. So if you are always on a diet, but you never quite reach your goal weight, or you get to a healthy weight, but you find it impossible to maintain it, then you're really going to want to pay close attention, because we want to stop the sabotage. To break the cycle, I'm going to help you clarify the underlying emotions and conflicts that prevent you from meeting your weight loss goals. Now, these may be some are more intense than others, but if you're doing something if you're doing something you don't want to do, or you're not doing something you want to do, there is always a reason. And so on the show, I'm here to help you guys figure out what is that reason that's hidden from your awareness, unconscious, but not out of operation. And just as an aside, you have to forgive me for not being very articulate this morning. Some of you may know that I have the love of my life, next to my husband and kids, is my 154-pound blind, deaf, Great Dane, Zane. Zane the Dane. And Zane is unbelievably spoiled to this extent. He will only drink water out of the kitchen faucet. He will not drink it out of any other place. It has to be from a kitchen faucet, and that's how high he is. He just sort of reaches his head forward and laps up water. Well, he must have had something that had a lot of salt in it yesterday, because he got up at midnight, he got up at 2, and he got up at 5 in the morning. And that means, guess who brought him to the kitchen to turn on the faucet? Me. So I'm a little sleep deprived right now. I could use like an IV of caffeine. So bear with me. Okay, back to the obstacles. So first of all, are you afraid of being impulsive? Now, one woman told me that she was afraid that if she lost weight, if she were thin, that she was going to leave her husband. And I've heard this from a number of people. They're afraid that if they get thin, they're just going to do something, just impulsively, like change their job, quit their job, cheat on their husband, cheat on their wife or girlfriend or whoever. And they're convinced that somehow they're going to be a different impulsive person when they lose weight. And so they keep themselves from doing anything like that by keeping themselves from being at their optimal weight. Another common fear is the fear of being objectified. Now, if you're afraid of feeling like a thing, an object to someone and not a person, then you're afraid of being objectified. And people who have had bad experiences with intimacy, whether they got negative messages about closeness or whether they were abused, they often fear being treated like a body or a thing rather than as a person. And remember, in the absence of connection with people, food becomes a substitute. So people can be unreliable, unavailable, and inconsistent. But unlike people, food is consistent, food is available, and food is reliable. Another common fear is fear of failing. Now, there is a difference between failing and being a failure. So fear of failure relates to this pervasive sense of shame that has to do with being a failure, and it has to do with your identity and your sense of self. Failing, on the other hand, has to do with what you're doing or not doing. So being a failure has to do with you as a person. So if the idea of failure is keeping you stuck, confront the idea that you're a failure if you fail. Learn to consider yourself a person who has tried and failed, not a failure as a person. And be sure to congratulate yourself for having the courage to tackle a difficult challenge. Lots of people don't even try anything, whether it's weight loss or anything else they may want to do, because their fear of failing just paralyzes them. And often, it's tied to feeling as if it reflects you as a person. But when you can step away from that and really see that we all try, we all fail, in fact, success is built on failure, then it becomes a lot easier. So another fear, and this is the one that people always say, like, what? That can't be it. It's a fear of happiness. A lot of people have a fear of happiness. And again, you, like so many people, might be going, what? Fear of happiness? What are you saying? Well, yeah, here's the thing. We have these messages about being too happy, right? Like, if you get too happy, something bad is going to happen. Or if you get too happy, somehow you're standing on that rug that someone is going to pull out from underneath your feet. Or if you just, the higher you rise, the farther you'll fall, that kind of a thing. And so the solution to that is never letting yourself be too happy, whatever too happy, too quote unquote too happy actually means, whatever that means to you. If you're never too happy, then you can never have something bad happen. And as long as you feel bad about your weight, you're safe. Right? You're not gonna step into a paradise only to lose it if you don't feel good about yourself. So there you have it, some specific ideas to help you figure out what's eating at you to change your relationship to yourself and stop the sabotage so you can lose weight and keep it off for good. So again, I want to open everything up to callers. The number again is 818-602-4929, and I would love to hear from you. So please give me a call. Okay, I have a question from a listener. I hope I get this name right. Shantara from RI, Rhode Island. Shantara, she wanted to know about how to stop negative thinking. She says, my thoughts always go to the worst things about a situation and my body. How do I'm gonna hold that thought. Hold on. Hi, caller, you're on with Dr. Nina.
Hey, this is Anne from New York. How are you?
Hi, Anne from New York. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm sorry about Zane. That is no fun.
I know. It's a good thing he's cute. That's what I was telling him last night. Like, it's a good thing you're cute. And I love you.
Oh, yeah. Cute dogs can get away with more than uncute dogs, probably. But, yeah. So, first of all, I wanted to thank you for your advice last week when I was listening in and you were talking about looking at yourself in the mirror and accepting yourself. And that just really stuck out to me. So I did it. And you're right. It's incredibly hard to just look at yourself and say, I accept you. And kind of like what we talked about a few weeks ago, that word acceptance, I found is easier than love, because you can, it's easier for me to accept myself with all my flaws than to like make this huge jump to radical self-love. But yeah, it was a really, really intimate experience. So,
and what can you share?
Thank you for that.
Oh, you're very welcome. Can you share what it was that you found so difficult?
Well, let me think about that for a second.
Like, was there another voice in your head that was saying, you're not acceptable, or, you know, no, not like that, something like that, other voice?
Well, yeah, I think in part there's that. Well, just be completely honest with how I did this. I decided to do it completely naked because
wow.
I just felt like that was going to be the most authentic way to do it. So it was like a 0 to 10 activity, right?
And that is
it would be
bold.
A lot easier to do it with clothes on.
Yeah, that is good for you. That is a bold move.
It was bold, but I think, I mean, at first when I was just looking into my eyes, I think there was, I think I saw fear being reflected back at me. Like, I was scared that today I was accepting myself, or in this moment I was accepting myself, but the second I looked down, or the second I went out, or when something hard happened, that I was going to take back that acceptance. And so I think that was one of the difficult things about this, was this distrust that I felt within myself of, am I really going to keep it? You know, can I maintain this relationship with myself?
So you went to the fear about mm-hmm. the future, about loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think that made it difficult, and just that it was a totally new idea, and one that I definitely felt resistance towards. I'm not sure if I know what the source of that resistance is right now, but there was definitely resistance that I had to work through as I sat there.
Well, and thank you for being so candid and so, you know, honest with your experience, because I think a lot of people can totally relate to what you're saying. And when you feel that resistance, the thing to do is to be, I like to say, be curious, not critical. You may have heard me say it before. Because when you're critical, you just shut yourself down, right? There's, you just feel bad. You shut yourself down. That's it. Like, oh, look, resistance. You know, what do you do with that? You just feel bad. But if you're like, what's this? If you ask yourself, what's this resistance about? What is this part of me that is fighting self-acceptance? You ask questions, you're more likely to find answers. And so I like that you were curious about it.
Yeah. And I think one thing that I feel resistance towards, this kind of goes into what you were just talking about, the fears that keep you from doing something or from making change. I think I'd love to hear what your advice is on this, but I think for me, I feel resistance that life without a rocky relationship with food will be boring. And I just made the connection as I was listening to your show. Like, it provides a sense of drama to my life, you know, like, and I don't know why I'm craving that drama, what role that is taking place. But when I have really steady weeks where, like, two or three weeks straight where I don't feel the need to binge, or I'm actually, that's not true. The urge, I feel like, is still pretty constant, but where I'm able to talk myself through it, or, you know, find out what the underlying need is, figure it out, work through the binge urge, and then it always fades away, right? But then I get to this point where I'm just bored of working through it, and so I just, I'm like, well, not really in the mood to work through this today, so I'm not going to. And like I said, those are fewer and far between, but I was wondering if you had any advice on, or just perspective about what's going on in those moments.
Well, I'm struck by a couple things. One is your amazing self-reflection. Yes, wonderful. But what you just said was you're bored of working through it. And I think a better word than bored is disinterested. You know, that in that moment you become somehow not interested in yourself. And maybe that relates to what you were saying earlier about the drama of eating, dieting, weight loss, weight gain, oh, what to do, right? That there's something enlivening about that, and something that keeps you interested in yourself, perhaps. But in moments when things are going, when, you know, either well, or when you're just, for whatever reason, not able to gather the will to be curious about what's going on and attend to yourself and talk to yourself and encourage yourself, I don't think you're bored. I mean, it sounds like you're abandoning yourself in those moments and calling it boredom.
Yeah. What you said about being disinterested, that's really striking a chord. It's for, I think there's something about, you know, this rocky relationship with food that keeps me interested in myself. Maybe it's interested in my self progression, or in self-reflection, or what my motivations are, but there's something about that keeps me really engaged or invested in my life. And then when things are going well, it's like, well, what do I have to figure out anymore? And then I get disinterested and bored. And so I don't, and actually, yeah, that's been really common. I think one of my fears about giving it up completely is my fear of not having something to push me, because this has been something that's pushed me to really learn and grow and develop and become self-aware and all these things. And if I give it up completely, like,
What's
going to happen? Will I be a boring person? I didn't realize that maybe that's what's going on.
You know, it's so interesting you said, will I be a boring person? Because what I just wrote while you were talking, because you said you're more interested in yourself at certain times, and then I wrote, interested, or does it make you interesting? And you just said, does it make you a boring person if you don't have this in your life? So maybe there's this some unconscious that we're bringing into consciousness, a sense that if you're struggling with this, that it makes you both interested in yourself and interesting, and that it's somehow you've convinced yourself it's a motivating factor. Like you have to motivate yourself with struggle rather than motivate yourself with encouragement.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Interesting seems to be the word of this conversation. Do you have any advice or perspective on things I could do to feel more engaged with myself as a person or feel interested in myself as a person without struggle?
Well, I'm wondering, is there... So when you're focusing on all this calories and weight loss and not binging and everything that you're talking about, it's very much focused on what you are doing and achieving and accomplishing, and it's measurable goals. And I'm just wondering if that is more familiar to you in terms of your childhood than interested in what you're feeling, what you're thinking, what your inner world is. Is it a more comfortable place for you to be engaged in accomplishment than in what's going on inside?
Maybe. Something that comes up as you say that is, I think I get frustrated with how long the process of having a body recalibrate naturally versus the really quick get skinny fast diet schemes. What the difference in timing and process looks like with that. And so I am, for the most part, I've become pretty aware of diets and all of their many hundreds of thousands of forms, and good, and I'm much better at eating what sounds good, eating appropriate amounts, all of these things. But there's still this, what I miss is, again, the word drama is really what's coming up. The drama of being able to lose weight fast, and juxtaposed to that, to have to sit around and wait for my body to recalibrate and to eat normal meal after normal meal after normal meal after normal meal. I think I'm getting bored in that process of normalcy. And
well, maybe there's something.
And yeah.
No, oh, finish your thought. Sorry.
No, I think my thought was being finished.
Okay. So maybe there's something exciting about this sense of mastery over your body. And every day you wake up when you're on a diet and you look on the scale and whoo, you've lost weight and you feel this sense of accomplishment. And that's very exciting and interesting. I mean, I hear what you're saying about, of course, it's hard to lose weight slowly. It's a lot more satisfying to do it quickly, even though, of course, that always backfires. Always. Always.
Mm-hmm.
But if we go a little deeper, maybe there's some sense of mastery that's going on, this sense of, hey, I'm in control, and I can do it, rather than this waiting, which you're still doing it, but it feels passive, like this... This ultra dieting feels active, and eating normally, which, as you say, sounds boring, perhaps you experience it as passive. I'd be interested if you could come up with other words than boring or interesting. You know, just as you said bored, and I thought disinterested. you know, what do you mean by drama? I'd get more into it. Like, what do you mean by drama? What gets associated with drama? What's boredom? What is going on?
So I think the process of losing weight naturally rather than using a diet scheme, the other words that I'm associating with that is like painfully slow, where I'm not noticing results as quickly. And there's a repetition in just eating normally sized amounts of food with normal foods every single day. There's a repetition in that. There is a sense of normalcy that I guess I'm not used to because I'm so used to variability. I'm used to like binging and then like purging or starving or whatever it is, and there's variability in the types of food I was eating and the quantities of food I was eating and the times of day I was eating. And now it's become very cyclical, normalized. It's averaging out every day. He's like, I guess this is what I wanted for so long, but once I find myself here, I'm missing the variance, the difference between the types of food I was eating, or I guess when I say drama, I mean...
Anne, I'm really wondering what is going on with your life that maybe it's hard to, maybe there's a displacement going on. Is there any possibility that there's something going on in your life right now that's also slow, that's also taking time, that you have to wait for results, that, you know, you feel like you can't speed up the process, could there be a possibility that that is being transferred to your relationship to food?
Yeah, I didn't notice until you said that, but definitely. That has been a huge frustration in my life lately. In relationships, in school, in professional ambitions, in where I'm living, in what kind of opportunities I can have. Everything seems very slow, very drawn out, very day-to-day. And that's definitely been frustrating for me over the last few months.
Okay, then I would strongly suggest that when you start thinking about your frustration about what's painfully slow in dieting, that you look at what's painfully slow in all of those things that you just mentioned, so that you can deal with it directly. And I suspect that the more that you deal with it directly, the less you're going to transfer that to food, weight, and body.
That is so interesting. Maybe I just need to spice up the pace of my life rather than the pace of what I'm eating.
Maybe so.
Which probably
yes.
is what actually is true here, but
and you may or may not be able to do so, which may make you then more lead you towards focusing on diet, where it's all about you and food, versus other aspects of your life. You can't control other people. You can't control other situations. You can't control work. You can't control school. All the relationships, all the things that you're doing are not just between you and you. You don't have, you know, this sense of omnipotent control that you do when you have a relationship with your body. I am getting another call. Thank you
so much.
Yeah, take
your other call.
Thank you so much
for your help, Nina.
Please call us back. Call me back. Let me know what's going on. You're doing great self-reflection.
Thanks. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, Nick. I Hello, recognize your phone number. Hi, Nick. I've missed you. How are you?
I know. I've been gone a couple. I'm doing great. I am doing great. And I missed a couple of times, and I feel badly that I did. But something popped up after we were talking to New York. And to me, it's not as a struggle, but it's difficult. But nothing's easy when it comes to this. You know, have I ever been at a perfect weight that I was this happy? Or have I been at that perfect weight, but I'm afraid to eat because I know that I'm going to gain more and I'll never be happy because I'm going to gain weight and go back and forth and be happy? And the whole thing, you know, it's like if you get that thinner and feel better for a day or two, and then, God, I have to diet. Oh, my God. I mean, it's like being in prison and you're free and you feel comfortable for a while, and then, uh-oh, you did something wrong. You have to go back into prison and you have to diet again. Which is the most miserable thing in the whole world to me, is having to diet. I love food.
Hey, there's a reason.
And I'm not
There's a reason you should not trust a four-letter word where the first three letters spell die.
I know that. I know, but it's...
So what is a perfect, when you say what's a perfect weight? What will happen in your imagination? What do you imagine will happen at that perfect weight?
You know, I'm not a youngster, and as a kid, I think about it. The difference of being thinner and being heavy, but I still carry it around with me. And what would be, I think, you know, people would like me better if I was thin. All the basic things that you deal with, we talk about, and then I dig out, why do I think that? Where did it come from? My mother or whoever? And it's in a perfect weight, you know. I like myself better. I fit in better. I look good better. I look much better.
Well,
clothes
why,
and this
why,
and that. And still,
why
sorry,
more likable? Why do you imagine that? Let me just ask you this, Nick. Think about a friend of yours. Would you like that?
Okay.
Would you a friend of yours who's maybe not the perfect weight? Would you like that friend better if that person lost weight? Would you all of a sudden be
of
like,
of course,
wow. I like you better.
Of course not.
No. So what is it that you don't think is likable enough about you that you will somehow get access to by losing weight?
You know, it comes back to just dieting my whole life. Okay? Being there. One way or another, and am I being better, being like more? No, but you know, I work on this, you know, and I feel that people like me. I've been in situations whether I was fat or not. We talked about a reunion I went to when I was a kid, and I was heavy, and I went to and I've lost a lot of weight, and I've been there. People are so happy to see me, and this and that. And it doesn't matter if I was thin or heavy, but...
Yeah, so what you're talking...
I'm trying to put this together by listening to your caller from New York. And to me, all these things bring up such a negative fighting kind of thing. Like, nothing is easy. Her standing in front of a mirror naked and looking at herself, Jesus Christ, that's incredible that she did that.
Takes courage.
I mean, that was real. Yeah. Well, yeah, it was really a gutsy thing that she did.
Yeah.
Could I do that? I mean,
report back in. Everyone out there, go stand in front of a mirror naked. Tell us about it. No, but Nick, in all seriousness, what you are describing is a sense of omnipotent control of the world that somehow by losing weight, you lose the parts of yourself that you found unlikable. Like, as if what you thought was unlikable about you was in your weight. And if you lost weight, you'd lose your unlikability. But of course, no matter how much weight you lose, you're still you. And I'm guessing you were never unlikable in the first place. You just were heavier. So there's this really compelling illusion that you and may have, because many people have it, and that is exactly what I just said, that if you lose weight, you lose the things about yourself you don't like.
Putting that aside for a second, I just want to really push the point that if I wanted to lose the weight to make me feel it, when she was talking about it, it's the point, and I really got to get this out of my head, is dieting. If I have to diet to make myself feel good, which I shouldn't have to do because I feel good about myself and I'm a good guy, but the thought of the going back to prison is just a terrible, terrible feeling. I have to know that I don't have to go back to prison. People like me the way I am, no matter what.
So you're talking about wanting to break out of the diet prison of your mind.
Exactly.
Mindset.
And,
yeah.
And just, you know, look in the mirror and say, oh, what's wrong with me?
No, how about look in the mirror and say, what's right with me? Language is so important. Like I can sound really picky, but that's because the words that we use to ourselves, our minds are listening. There's a quote like, "Don't let your mind bully your body." Well, don't let your mind bully your mind either. So if you, the difference between saying, "Oh, I'm gonna break out of diet prison. I'm gonna look in the mirror. I'm gonna say, what's wrong with you?" That's a lot different than, "I'm gonna break out of diet prison. I'm gonna look in the mirror. I'm gonna say, hey, what's right with me?" Which feels better?
That'll be interesting. All right, I will go for next week.
But I have to say, in all seriousness, that your imagery of prison says a lot.
Yeah.
You know, that there's some part of you that feels so constricted and locked up and guarded, and I don't know. I'm putting words in your mouth. These are the thoughts that come to my mind.
But I will tell you, I'm still not getting on the scale every day to judge myself.
Oh,
so that's
a big step. Wait. Oh, yeah. Woohoo.
Yeah, I used to get on a scale every day. I used to get on a scale 5 times a day. But, you know, now I don't get on a scale every day. It goes a long time. And that's one way of curing things.
It deserves
Yay!
I'm out of control. this this is what's happening on No Coffee. I do not have my IV
exactly.
drip of coffee. But Nick, that is wonderful, because you said that you'd gotten on the scale every day for decades, and that the scale ruled your life, and it was like put you back in prison every day. And so that is such a powerful stance that you took to break free, and you know, I'm so pleased to hear that. That's just wonderful.
It's good to be back. Good to talk to you. You're the best.
Welcome.
And the dog. What can I tell you about the dog? What can I tell you about the dog?
I don't know what to tell you about the dog. It's a, like I said, it's a good thing he's 154 pounds of cuteness and adorableness and love and unconditionality. So he gets thirsty 3 times during the night. Okay, it's unconditional love. If only we can all love ourselves the way we love our dogs. Yeah.
With our dogs, exactly.
Yeah. Well, Nick, thank you so much for calling and... keeping us posted.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll talk to you soon. Bye bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Aww. Nick. I love my callers. If anyone out there would like to talk to me, we have about 10 minutes before the end of the show. 818-602-4929. If not, I'm going to get back to, let's see if I can do this in 2 minutes, to Chandra or Chantara. Chantara. Oh, gosh. I hope I'm not butchering your name, Chantara. Okay, so she says, my thoughts always go to the worst things about a situation and my body. How do I stop being so negative? Okay, so when I got that, I thought about two people who in my life had said that they were being negative. And let me tell you quickly about both of them, and then I'm going to answer your question more fully. So, okay, so someone I know named Cheryl, who's been preoccupied with her weight for years, and she is just always on a diet, all about counting calories and fat grams and weighing herself on a daily basis. She really needs to follow Nick's example. So she found out that her sister-in-law was diagnosed with early stage skin cancer. She's going to be fine, the sister-in-law. But what Cheryl said was that she felt really stupid for worrying about her weight all the time. And she told herself, hey, it's not like you're dealing with a life and death situation with your weight. You know, you don't have it so bad. My sister-in-law has cancer. Well, you know, why are you wasting time complaining? And then she binged on ice cream to escape what she called the negative thoughts. And another friend of mine is going through a divorce, a really contentious, nasty, awful divorce. And she told me that she's upset and scared. She's angry. She feels helpless. She feels paralyzed. She feels all of these intense feelings. And then she stopped herself and she apologized for, as she put it, being so negative. So, how do you stop negative thinking? First, question the label. The word negative means to be pessimistic, gloomy, or cynical. And that is a general attitude and perspective on life. So if you are accusing yourself of being negative, ask yourself whether this negativity is an attitude or if you're using negative to describe emotional reaction. Because none of those feelings, you know, it's not being negative to be upset, scared, or angry. It's painful, but it's not being negative. Cheryl wasn't being negative. She was basically being harsh and dismissive and judgmental towards herself. Because guess what? You can recognize that, someone in your life has a scary diagnosis. Thankfully, she's going to be okay. And that you are struggling with your weight. That doesn't mean you're being negative about yourself. So my friend was not being negative. She was anxious and scared and upset and angry. Those are painful feelings. Painful feelings are difficult, but they don't mean that you are negative or that the feelings are negative. Remember, feelings are a reaction to a situation. That's it. Feelings are a reaction to a situation. They are not a character flaw. So you're not a negative person if you talk about painful, difficult things. And then you got to process those original feelings. So you figure out, I'm talking about being negative, what am I really saying? Are you upset? Are you sad? Are you, I'm not sure what she say. She just said, thoughts always go to the worst things about the situation. So that's fear, right? So you got to process, well, what are those fears? That's not being negative, that's being scared. And remember, you can't stuff down emotions. You can't let them go. You can't drop them, ignore them, or get rid of them with positive thinking. The only thing you can do is address them and pay attention to them and really, honor them. And when you say, well, why am I feeling scared? What am I scared of? Then you're going to feel a lot better. So if you're upset, you got to express it. You got to cry or yell or journal or talk to someone who understands or call me. Process what's going on. And last, do not compare yourself to others. Now, Cheryl attacked herself for having concerns about her weight because her sister-in-law was dealing with a significant health situation, or so it seemed to Cheryl. So it's one thing to have perspective. Oh, you know, wow, I'm so worried about my weight and she's got skin cancer. But it's another to bash yourself just because you're upset about your weight, that your circumstances are different from someone else's. Like, if you break your arm and someone else breaks two arms, do you have less of a right to be upset about your broken arm just because someone else broke two arms? No, of course. You get to be upset that you broke your arm and possibly grateful that it's one and not both. So how do you stop negative thinking? You stop thinking about your thoughts, about your emotions, about your reactions, about your wishes. You stop thinking about them as negative. Don't label them as negative. Figure out what you really are feeling and thinking, because those emotions and thoughts need your attention, not your condemnation. Okay, let's see. Another question. Is there really a mind-body connection? Yes, there is really a mind-body connection. So often what we do not, and I don't know who wrote that, it's some listener from somewhere wrote to me, is there really a mind-body connection? You know, we see this all the time. We see this all the time, especially with kids. Like when my daughter said that she had a stomach, her stomach hurt, I was like, oh, okay, let's make sure you don't have food poisoning, you don't have the flu, maybe you don't have, you know, some kind of allergic reaction. And she had none of those, but she had a really painful tummy. And we talked about it, and it turned out she was nervous about going back to school after the summer. And that anxiety was expressed in her painful tummy. And how do I know that it was anxiety? Because talking about it, talking it over, made the pain stop. So that is just one example of that emotional to physical connection. And you know what? Another one, interestingly enough, you're going to love this. I love it. Another one is hunger. Because your relationship to food can be an expression of what's missing in your life. Because think about all the ways that we talk about yearning as hunger. We're hungry for love, starving for attention. You know, all that that is about yearning. And so emotionally wanting or needing more of something or someone can be experienced as actual hunger. Isn't that amazing? Mind-body connection. It's such an important concept. So let me put it in a different way. Being hungry for more of love, attention, friendship, understanding, money, security, may be experienced as actual physical hunger. So what do you do about this? Well, ask yourself, what are you hungry for in your life that isn't food? Loneliness, meaning that you want to be with someone else, can feel like emptiness, and food symbolically fills that void. And if you're sad and you're in need of comfort, but nobody is there for you, nobody's there to console you, you might use food for comfort. If you're in a situation you can't control, you may focus on your powerless over food instead of feeling powerless about the situation. If you're in an unsatisfying relationship, again, you might turn to food to satisfy unmet needs. So by getting in touch with what you are hungry for in life, you are much more likely to stop using food as an unconscious means of getting that need for more met. That emotional hunger can actually be experienced as physical hunger. And that is a very important way to think about the mind-body connection. There are lots more, but I am going to get into those another time. In the meantime, that is our show for today. Thank you, callers, Anne and Nick, for sharing your thoughts and being open and vulnerable. And thank you, all of you out there who are listening. I am Dr. Nina. I'm here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific here on LA Talk Radio to give you the skinny on weight loss without dieting. Visit me at winthedietwar.com for lots of free stuff, and I'd love to hear from you, so send me a message on Twitter or Facebook or email me with any questions you'd like me to cover on the show, or call in next week. I'll see you then. Bye.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.